You know, it's good to worship. It's good to connect with God, isn't it? It's so important that we do that. So important, so vital. I hope that you are connecting not just one day a week. I hope that you're connecting with God on a regular basis. And that's one of those things that in the Christian walk, that's like those disciplines that we have, right? That discipline of connecting with God on a regular basis. And so I would encourage you that way. It's fun to get together. It's great to be here today on Sunday mornings, but I want to encourage you throughout the week to connect with God. Connect with God. We all could do better at that, myself included. And so I want to encourage you. He is so good. So today we're talking. We've kind of been in a little sermon series, if you will, about the teachings of Jesus. And I found this really cool passage of Scripture. I guess they all are pretty cool, but this one really, really kind of stood out to me today. And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of my sophomore year in high school. My sophomore year of high school, I remember it was the early fall. And I remember I was this young punk kid that loved football, just loved playing football. And so I remember one of the varsity coaches came up to me and said, "Hey, Jim, we want you to come up. We want you to play and start this season for us." I thought, "Are you kidding me? Wait, what? Are you sure you got the right guy?" And so, sure enough, my first practice with the varsity, I was probably a 175 soaking wet. I was the skinny bean pole. And so, to be that way again. Oh man. So as I was my first practice, I remember as I lined up. I was on the defensive line, played defensive end, and it was this big dude was lined up next to me, and he was a senior, and so we lined up on the line of scrimmage, and we got ready to we were practicing, got ready to run through some plays, and I remember I'm down in my stance, you know, I'm ready to go, I'm thinking, oh man, what am I doing here? I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm freaking out here. And so this big defensive tackle, I mean, this guy was just monstrous. Like Jason, I'm looking at you. I mean, like, he was probably your size. I mean, just a big dude. And I'm like, so what he did is we're standing under the line of scrimmage like this. He pulls up his helmet, places one finger on it in one of his nostrils. And oh man, he had great aim. He lit my leg up with a snot rocket, and he told me, and proved to me where I belong on that defensive line. Because what he showed me was, hey, little sophomore kid, this is what I think of you. And my leg at that point was full of this big dude's senior snot, and what was I going to do? Absolutely nothing. I, in fact, let it stay there just so I told him, I showed him my respect. You see, as I was thinking about that, you're thinking, what in the world does that have to do with Scripture? Well, the title of my sermon today was, When Jesus Spits in Your Face. When Jesus Spits in Your Face. Now, before you get all crazy and think I'm blasphemous in here today, let's take a look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. So if you have your cell phones, if you've got your Bibles, whatever you use, if you want to take a look at it on the screen, it's right up here. And so this is where Jesus and his disciples were kind of, they were milling around. And so when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus. And they begged him to touch him and heal the man. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, yes, I said it, then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" Verse 24, the man looked around and said, "Yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands over the man's eyes again, and as the man stared intently, his sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go back to the village on your way home." Now, this, you can see where I can kind of pull the title out of this sermon, right? When Jesus spits in your face. When Jesus spits in your face. This was an interesting passage of Scripture. Real quick, real short. But a great passage where they're talking about when someone brought a bunch of people brought this man to Jesus. You see, here appears the faith of those who brought him. They believed that one touch of Christ's hand would recover his sight. You see, the man himself showed the earnestness for this expectation. But they brought him to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus. Can you remember today those people who brought you to Jesus? Think about it. I mean, maybe there's one person. Maybe there's a group of people. Maybe it was a pastor. But think about who brought you to Jesus. Maybe there's a special someone in your life that connected you and for the very first time showed you the need for Jesus Christ's salvation in your life. These people, for some reason, they saw this blind man and they said, listen, you need Jesus in your life. He's the healer. He's the one that can help you out. Can you remember those people? Can you remember that? Maybe it was one person in your life. Now I want you to remember the person that you brought to Jesus today. Maybe there's a bunch of people that you have brought to Jesus through your faith. Through your faith and said, I've got a friend, you need Jesus in your life. I want to show you Jesus. Can you remember that person or those people? You see, the point here is what I'm trying to think about is that people brought this blind man to Jesus in faith. They brought this blind man to Jesus in faith as a great example of what we need to be doing as well. I ask myself the question, how many people I've brought to Jesus because they need healed? How many people have I brought to Jesus because they needed to be spat upon? How many people have I brought to Jesus because they needed something in their life? They were desperate. And how many times have I brought them to Jesus? So ask yourself that question, and you think back and you go, wow, am I doing okay with that? Can I do better with that? You see, this happened to me when I was in college. I remember there was a group of guys that said, listen, we're forming an accountability group. We're forming kind of a group of guys that are getting together. We're just going to really seek out Jesus a little bit more in our lives. And for me, that was new. I mean, I was saved in the church when I was around 14 or 15 years old. And so I never really heard of like an accountability group. I never heard of like a small group before. And so it was really, really fun for me to go, okay, well, what is this all about? But I remember a group of guys, they simply said, Jim, you need an accountability group. You got to get into a group of people that we can share Jesus together. I thought, hey, why not? Sounds like fun. And it was that moment, it was those times, those sweet, sweet moments that I realized that if it wasn't for those guys that brought me closer to Jesus, I'm not sure where I would be today. You see, when I was in time of need, others recognized that you need a healing touch from Jesus Christ. When I was in need, it wasn't for a group of other people's faith that said, listen, as long as we come together and do this thing together, I think we're all going to be a little bit better for it. You see, this man potentially wasn't a man of faith who Jesus healed, but it was the faith of the others that simply said, come with us. We know a guy that can help you out. And so as Jesus spat in his face, we read this, and then he put his hands upon it. He put his hands upon his eyes, and we all understand that he was healed. But a couple things happened before that. As we read in Scripture, Jesus led him out of the village. I mean, why? Jesus led him by the hand. It says, took him by the hand and led him out of the village. Now, do you think if I was Jesus or if you were Jesus, wouldn't you just kind of say, okay, let's just do this right now, right here? I would. I'd be like, okay, here we go. I know I'm the Son of God. I got this. I know I can do this. These people brought this man to me who was blind. I know I've got this. Let's do this for everybody to see. But Jesus led him by the hand, it says, and said, let's go. Come on. See, Christ leading this blind man, he didn't ask his friends to lead him. No, but Jesus led him by the hand. Never had this poor blind man had such a leader that he didn't even recognize. He led him out of the town. Can you imagine giving your hand, if you're blind, to some stranger and said, okay, go ahead and lead me? Do you think this was a test? I do. I mean, I think this was a Jesus test that says, listen, take my hand, we're going to go somewhere. The guy, I know I'd be like, whoa, can't you see I'm blind? What if? That's what I would be like. There's no way I'm taking, hey, listen, can you make sure that this guy is not going to lead me off a cliff somewhere or take me to the wrong, no. This man was led by Jesus by the hand out of town. See, I don't know why. Maybe to avoid the clamor and the excitement of the village people. Well, not those guys. Nobody got that joke. Thank you. The village people. All right. You guys are tired this morning. So he needed to get out of the village. Jesus led this man. And so when Jesus is allowed to be in faith, we're led by Jesus when we allow him to a place of solitude. So I remember in my life, as I was thinking about this sermon, that I was thinking about my life, it was a great, great illustration that I think it was one of my youth pastors when I was a kid. He blindfolded us. He blindfolded us. There was a group of us outside, and we were around a bunch of picnic tables and trees. And I remember he blindfolded us, and he said, okay, everybody partner up. One's got a blindfold. The other's the leader. You can't touch that person. You can't hold their hand. You can't hold their shoulders, nothing. But only through verbal commands are you allowed to lead the one who is blindfolded through this obstacle course of trees and picnic tables. And so I remember doing this little fun little game. I'm sure you may have partaken in one of these little youth group games before, but you put the blindfold on, and I happen to be the guy with the blindfold. And the kid behind me was the one barking orders at me. Oh, turn right, turn left. No, watch out for that stump. Oh, there's a picnic table in your way. And I remember thinking, dude, this is crazy. What am I doing? But that kid led me through this obstacle course. It was a great example, an illustration. You see, it took that illustration. I wasn't saved at the point. I was just this kid who didn't have Jesus, didn't know what it meant to be that I was blind. And it was that little illustration that really rocked my world. Because our youth pastor then sat us down and said, so how'd you guys feel about being blind? How'd you feel about not knowing where you're going? Because that's exactly where all of you are headed. You're wandering in life without any direction, any guidance. And I remember that feeling of helplessness. I remember that feeling of feeling that lost feeling when I had the blindfold on. But it was then the Holy Spirit came down upon my life. And that feeling of being lost, it was like something supernatural took over my life and my heart. The Holy Spirit knocked on my heart's door and said, you're blind. And you need Jesus. And it was in that season that I accepted Christ in my life. It was in that moment, that those times where I just simply relinquished my hand to the Savior and said, Lord, lead me. Wherever you may go, I'll follow. And so as we think of that blind man, as Jesus led him out of the village, there had to be some sense of testing going on. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me for everything in your life? Like everything, even your physical sight. See, I thought it was interesting as we read on in the passage, is that Jesus spat in his face, right? Jesus, like there's other passages in Scripture, I don't know if you guys remember, but Jesus spit into the sand. Remember those? He spit into the dirt, then made this amazing little healing swath, little salve, and then placed it upon. But Jesus skipped then the dirt part and just went right into his eyes. And then he placed his hands over his eyes. And I thought this was interesting. You see, it didn't work. Did anybody else notice that? It didn't work at first. Jesus asked the man, and this is, Jesus said, can you see? He's like, no, I see people just, they look like trees. Do you ever find this pretty interesting? I mean, do you think Jesus' spit didn't work? Or do you think Jesus did this on purpose? Do you think that he like made a mistake? Do you think Jesus like missed something in his godly training from the Father? You get what I'm saying? He didn't miss that day of school of like healing. No, Jesus did this on purpose. You would think you'd have to think that Jesus did this on purpose. Jesus could have cured him as he did others. Jesus could have done it instantly, but for some reason the man just, they're trees. But do you think that Jesus heals in stages? That potentially that he simply said, I'm going to heal you, but just one moment, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you see? Have you been fully healed? See, I like to think that, I know in my life, Jesus works on me in stages. He's worked on me. He's still working on me. He's still working. And so for spiritual healing, I know I needed those steps of faith. I know I needed to take those moments of faith. And maybe that blind man needed that step of faith right then and there. Do you truly believe me? Watch. How about now? Yeah, I still believe you, God. I still believe you. How about now? Do you believe me still? But God, you've not fully healed me. What's wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Why have I still have this sickness? Why do I still carry this disease with me? I've prayed. I've been anointed. I've asked you time and time again to take this ailment from me. Why have I not been healed fully? Maybe Jesus heals in stages. That he's taking you through this faith journey. He's taking you to simply say, how about now? Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Or just because I healed this part of you, are you saying, well, you didn't heal all of it, so I'm done with you, Jesus. I'm going to go somewhere else. You see, in my life, Jesus has cut and done a little surgery here and there. He's cut off the things that I don't need, cut off the things that I don't, that I shouldn't have in my life. And it's a stage. And like we talked a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, is that, you see, we've not arrived yet. We're in flight. We're still in flight. We're still on this plane that we call life. None of us have arrived. And so I love this passage of scripture where Jesus gives the example for some reason for us to kind of pick this one apart and to say, why, Jesus? Why did you touch that man's eyes and it really didn't work the first time? What for? And so you have to think, it was at a test. And how Jesus does surgery one little area at a time in our lives. Where he just takes and he just cuts apart and just, this is for now, but let's continue to have faith and learn and grow through the process. And then, of course, he simply adds at the end of this, just so you know, you're healed now, don't go through the village on the way home. Really? You see, understanding that Jesus had a plan and a purpose for this man's life. And maybe there's still some things, still some rough edges around in this man's life that needed to be touched again by God. And his sight was just to scratch the surface. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up this morning as we kind of close things out. I don't know about you, but maybe there's things in your life that God's still working on. That's me. Me too. We're together in this, right? But maybe you've lost faith. Maybe you have lost hope. Maybe you're in here today and saying, well, I've been struggling with this thing in my life so long, I'm really not sure Jesus can do it. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. Maybe you're in here today and you're going through a valley or a trial or something in your life, and you're just simply saying, I don't know how I got here, but I'm just not sure Jesus can do this. So today, is your faith weak? Is your faith weak? I mean, you may be on the top of the world today. You may be a person who is like, yeah, my relationship with God is great, but is your faith weak in that you've never even brought somebody to Jesus for healing, for salvation, for wholeness? Is your faith so weak that you've never brought somebody to say, I kind of believe this Jesus thing. I go to church every week, and it's okay. I'm a fan of Jesus. But is your faith so weak in that you realize that if you hear a problem of one of your coworkers, you're just like, oh, okay, I'll pray for you. No, you got to bring them to Jesus through your faith. You say, I know a guy. I know a guy, and I want to share this guy with you. He can heal you. He can help you. Is your faith weak? So out of this passage of Scripture, I truly, truly believe that it's a challenge for us. As Jesus set this beautiful example of healing, what a fantastic challenge for us to glean from that beautiful story. So really, it's about faith. It's about faith. Trusting in God for everything that He has for you. So I want to encourage you today as we sing this last song. I want you to do some business with God, so to speak. I would like you to just to think about your life and to simply say, how big's my faith? I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. And ultimately, let the Holy Spirit just work in your life today. It's nothing I can say or do or anything, but let the Holy Spirit work and move in your life today. Let's stand together. So if you're in here today and you just kind of feel like, yeah, I've lost my faith a little bit. I've been healed a little bit, and God is continually working on me. But maybe you're here today that you're just simply saying, God, I need to bring back my faith to you. I just need that. I need something else. I want to encourage you today to reach out to God. I want to encourage you to reach out. So Lord God, today as we need to hear from you. I think I'm done talking, God. I think I'm done. I want to hear from you, O Holy Spirit. For your spirit speaks to us in words that we can't even identify sometimes. And so, O Holy Spirit, speak to us as only you can do. Work in our hearts, work in our lives. Strengthen my faith, God, when I'm weak. Strengthen my faith and my resolve. Strengthen me, O God. I lean on you, I trust in you every step of the way.